Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, Pink Cup fans are excited about Wilson Contreras. I mean, he's probably having enough trouble just keeping his heart rate down, and then he gets a standing ovation from 40,000 people. That's a goosebump kind of moment here before his first ever big league at bat. Deep to center field, and it is gone! Can you believe it? What a scene and what a moment for Wilson Contreras, homering in his first major league at bat. Got a standing ovation before the at bat and a curtain call after.
Chris Ranji on Hit and Run on the Score. We're with you until 11:35, until Matt Spiegel has Cubs pregame. They will take on the Reds this afternoon, and we want you to listen in. I believe Spiegs has the fifth inning of the game as well, so should be a good afternoon in Cincinnati. The Cubs will take on the Reds. As we go to the Alpamonte Nissan guest hotline, Alpamonte Nissan in Melrose Park on North Avenue. You can also go to apnissan.com. We are joined by Jordan Schusterman of Cespedes Family Barbecue, a great baseball Twitter follow. You can follow that at Cespedes Barbecue. Jordan is joining us now on 670 The Score. Hello, Jordan. Good morning, and thanks for being with us.
Hello, sir. It's great to be with you. I appreciate the invite. And I got to say, hearing that Wilson Contreras call really fired me up. So very excited to talk about this.
It's great because what you're doing, and for people who don't know and haven't been following, we're getting close to the time that we have reached the 20,000th player in Major League history. And it's weird to think of it in terms like that, because you just don't really do that. I mean, you think there have probably, it's probably been like hundreds of thousands of baseball players in history, and there haven't been that many people in over a century of Major League Baseball that have played this sport at that level. And we are approaching 20,000, and going through the list just this season, 1913, Andrew Vaughn for the White Sox makes his debut. 1940, Justin Steele of the Cubs. 1964, Trevor McGill making his debut for the Cubs. And we're up at 1972, correct, Jordan?
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Last night we had a few more, kind of a rapid pace. You know, at the beginning of the season, obviously there are guys like Andrew Vaughn making the team out of camp. And so when I started this project last season, it does require a lot of not just research to prepare for each of these debuts, but kind of being aware who's going to come up, right? Because I'm trying to do this in real time. So it does take a lot of kind of finagling, making sure you know who's on the taxi squad, who's on the 40-man, stuff like that. But like you said, I mean, the whole point of this project and the reason why I started it is just because that is truly such a small number. Like, you know, to put it in Chicago terms, I don't believe it would even fill the United Center, if that's, which sounds crazy because it's, again, all of Major League Baseball back to 1871. But that's insane, right? I mean, it really puts the whole challenge of getting to the major leagues in perspective.
Yeah, and I think the United Center is 22,000. That's the capacity, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. It's at least 21. So, I mean, you're right. You're talking about just in comparison to all of the history. Like, I mean, just how much we have paid attention to baseball and how much has happened that only, like, you couldn't even fill a baseball stadium. Like, any baseball stadium in the country would almost be at most 2/3 full if you put all of the players who have ever played the game in that stadium at once. It's just, it's crazy to think of it like that.
Yeah, and of course, when you see the number 20,000, it's easy to compare it. And I wrote an article about it for Fox Sports last week. And, you know, you can compare it to, like, populations of small cities, but it's also, it's not just, you know, you thinking about it relative to the general population, but it is hundreds of thousands that have gone through pro ball, right? I mean, I know the draft is shorter now, but for a long time, there was over 1,000 getting drafted every year, not to mention the hundreds, sometimes over 1,000 international signees, right? So it's not just let alone all the people playing college baseball and playing independent baseball and all those things. So it really does just signify how crazy it is to get there. However it goes, you know, sometimes you have the storybook beginning, like the Wilson Contreras home run, and they go on to become stars. We had another one of those this year with Akil Baddoo, who also homered on the first pitch of his career with the Tigers. But then you also have some that don't go as well. But to me, I don't really care about how it goes. Like, if you make it, if you get into that major league box score, like, you are amazing and you deserve to be celebrated. And that's kind of how I've been taking this whole thing.
That's another thing that I've always been amazed by, Jordan, is just like we talk sometimes about a professional ball player, like, oh, this guy's a bum, this guy stinks. And relative to other major leaguers, that might be true. But if you see this dude, and, you know, there was such a thing as playground baseball, like, this guy would smoke you every time, right? Like, I mean, this, like, the worst major league player is better than you at baseball by miles. Like, he would never be able to be any, like, I remember I went to, I used to go to White Sox fantasy camp through when I worked with the team and would go every so often. And this dude, like, showed up, and I think he was probably 35, and he was a big guy, and he's just crushing baseballs left and right. And we're all like, who is this guy? Never made it past A ball. You know, like, he just,
right.
It's amazing how good these guys are at the sport, but we don't step back and think about it when they're actually playing the game. If they're not successful in the moment, we usually criticize them.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, that's our job. I mean, so most of the people in the baseball world are focusing on Major League Baseball, and it's, you know, it's your job to analyze what's happening at the Major League level. But yeah, it is always helpful to zoom back. And so much of what me and Jake, you know, my Cespedes Barbecue partner do is explore the wide world of baseball, the whole baseball universe from the top to the bottom, of every level, every college, every, you know, little league, every, you know, talking internationally, like, it all, we love all of it. And so the, you know, numbers like this and projects like this appreciate that Major League Baseball is the top. It is the hardest. It is the best baseball in the world. And so, yeah, like you said, like, yeah, if the guy comes up and throws two innings and leaves his career with a 20 ERA, like, doesn't look so good on the old baseball reference page, but guess what? He made it, and most people don't. So that's kind of the perspective I'm looking for.
Jordan Schusterman of Cespedes Family Barbecue joining us on Hit and Run on the Score. And you said that you're paying attention, you're trying to keep an eye on who might get called up, when it might happen. We're 28 away from number 20,000. Is there any way to have a general idea of who you think might actually end up being that 20,000th?
Yes. So this is obviously the question I've been getting the most over the last year or so. I mean, it would be ridiculous to try and peg it right now, even 28 away, which is very close. And we are averaging maybe one a day, maybe a little bit less than that over the last few weeks. Once we get within 10, I probably will start to try and narrow down, be like, okay, who's on a taxi squad who has not appeared yet, who is very close to appearing, or maybe who's in AAA, right? We have the minor league season starting up this week finally, so we kind of know who teams deem as at the top level of the minors and close to the major leagues. But it would be crazy for me to try to guess. I know we all want it to be a super-duper top prospect. I'm trying to think, for your sake, if there are any Cubs or White Sox near the top that could be making. Obviously, Vaughn debuted a little bit faster than maybe we anticipated, so he's maybe off that list. But I know people, the prospect junkies, want to have, oh, Wander Franco, Jared Kelnick, maybe it'll be Mackenzie Gore. And I guess those are good guesses. I think those guys are going to be in the minors for a little bit more, and I think we're going to get 20,000 before they come. But I don't know, and I can't wait to see if it is a top prospect or if it's someone that does have a really short career and we never hear of them. But that's the fun of this, I guess.
Do you have a prize for 20,000 when he finally does get called up?
That's another good question. You know, that's the other problem is, who knows? Because it could, you know, maybe it's a situation like when Andrew Vaughn debuted, right? We knew it was happening because he was in the starting lineup. And so we had at least 6 or so hours, if not days, to know, like, okay, Andrew Vaughn is going to debut on this day at this time, and he's going to come to the plate at this time. You know, most of these, like last night, we had a guy come in a 9-run game in the ninth. We had two guys come in and blowouts at the end of the game. We had a guy pinch hitting in extra innings for the Brewers. Like, you know, you can't anticipate those things. So sure, you might know when they're on the roster, but it's very hard to guess exactly when they're going to happen. As for the prize, I have thought about this. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get it together in time. I did have this image of, you know, handing over, you know, the oversized check like they would before after a game. So I think that could be cool. We'll see if we could get that arranged in the next few weeks, because it's going to happen this month at some point. But yeah, as of now, no concrete plan.
Is there a guy who's made his debut that you are most intrigued by? Like, I mean, and it hasn't been long enough to really get a read on some of these players, but there has to be somebody that you really want to see how things play out for them this year.
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, some guys that have just kind of been thrust into major league duty, this has been a thing that was very relevant last year when we had all of the, you know, of the COVID outbreaks last year, you know, and we had the Marlins and Cardinals having to call up like 10 minor leaguers in the span of a week. That really brought in a bunch of names that you never even would have considered on the radar. And that's already happened this year, too, with teams like the Brewers having to call guys up who haven't even played an A-ball or haven't even played above A-ball. So in terms of, that's a good question. Like, I always am split between the guys. It's like, okay, when the top prospect comes up, it's like, that's what we're all super excited for. And those are the ones that get the most retweets because people know these guys' names. But it's the ones that debut and I didn't know anything about them. And then I was like, I was all in. Like, Matt Peacock is a great example of a guy who had, he did not have a very good outing last night, but he made his debut for the Diamondbacks in extra innings. This is a guy who basically quit baseball in college because he just had a bunch of arm injuries and was like, all right, like, I don't need to do this anymore. He comes back as like a redshirt 23-year-old senior, starts throwing these awesome sinkers, gets drafted, and is in the big leagues 3 years later. And he's like, this was never the plan. Like, I had no idea I was going to do this. So now whenever Matt Peacock comes in, I'm ecstatic. I'm like, oh, my God, here is Matt Peacock, major leaguer. So guys like that, I get way more of a kick out of than the top 100 prospect guys. So that's the real joy of this project is learning more. I mean, that's why I love the game. It's just always learning more and trying to know more about this crazy sport we love.
Jordan Schusterman of Cespedes Family Barbecue is joining us on The Score. There have been a lot of really great storylines so far, and you know, I don't know if this is a great storyline in baseball, but it was interesting to us what is going on with Amir Garrett and the Cubs, and they don't appear to like each other. And there was the Miguel Cabrera thing earlier in the week, and Nick Madrigal apparently accusing him of sign stealing on the field or whatever. But beyond that, there have been like really, really, truly great storylines throughout the season in the very early part. Is there one that you really like the most of all the things that have been happening in baseball in just 1 month of the season?
Yeah, I mean, it's almost cliche to say it, but like, I am still kind of overwhelmed at how good Padres Dodgers actually was.
Yes.
And I'm sure that people in Chicago are somewhat probably tired of hearing about it, because I know that
I am not at all. I love it.
Okay, good. Yeah, no, but I guess, you know, because we, you know, the White Sox, of course, had a lot of hype coming into the season, I think justifiably so, and I love watching the Sox, and the Cubs have been at the forefront of the NL conversation for so long. But, I mean, the amount, usually when you hype these series up, especially regular season stuff, it's never anywhere close to as good. And with Padres Dodgers, like, I was optimistic, but it was every single game. It was unbelievable. I mean, it's basically the best. I mean, I'm pretty young, but it's the best regular season baseball I can remember in a long time. So that has obviously completely surpassed expectations. But beyond that, I mean, you know, again, this is something that, a lot of people, you know, my age, they're watching. It's just, I'm just so thankful at how young the game is, honestly. Like, it's having guys like Soto and Tatis and Acuna, like, it makes you so excited to watch baseball every single night. And obviously the White Sox have a ton of those guys too, but it's reinvigorating every time to see what these young guys are doing. And I'm glad that in general, the game is enabling people to do it. But as you said, though, baseball players will always be getting angry at each other. And that is part of the game too. And some of that's fun. Some of that is kind of exhausting. I kind of see it both ways, but I can understand where people kind of land on those things. But, you know, I love Amir. I love Javi. Like, for me, like, I want guys to play with passion, and sometimes that spills over into stupid aggression that is unnecessary. And I just kind of take that for what it is, and hopefully it stays at that and doesn't elevate to anything more than that.
Yeah, and you don't want anybody to get hurt, obviously. I mean, that's the worst possible outcome, is that a fight happens, dude breaks his hand, somebody gets a face broken because of a fastball to the head or whatever. Like, those are the worst outcomes. But the fire, you know, the tension, like, that stuff is interesting. And when you're talking about players showing emotion, this is the first time, the last few years anyway, it's the first time ever in my lifetime that baseball, like, the entity of baseball, like, actively promotes that. Like, they are encouraging players to be like what Tatis is, or what Acuna is, or, you know, Javi, or Amir Garrett. Like, any of these guys who are willing, you know, Bryce Harper even is like that. Like, just it's the first time they've embraced it, and I like it, and I hope that we are totally getting away from the put your head down and run to first thing. Like, do you think that we are fully past that?
But for the most part, yeah. I mean, I totally agree with you. It has been kind of shocking to watch this shift, honestly, but it is very refreshing, obviously, and for us as people who have, you know, supported the game and promoted this game in this sense since we started doing it however many years ago, like it's a no-brainer. Like, it's not even complicated, right? Like, well, yeah, duh. Obviously, people prefer when guys show emotion, and, like, where's the fun in putting your head down and whatnot. But, yeah, I mean, the bar has shifted so far in one direction. Like, I think about last night, Jerks and Profar hit a home run against the Giants and did, like, what, you know, 6 or 7 years ago would be a bat flip that would be everywhere. It would be like everyone would be losing their mind. Mm-hmm. And no one was even posting the clip. It was like, oh yeah, of course, that's just what baseball is. And that's great. That's great. I'm glad we've moved the needle in that direction, and it's more normalized, and generally pitchers are less sensitive, but at the same time, hitters are less sensitive because pitchers are showing emotion too. And that's how it should all even out, right? If it's about celebrating, it's about celebrating your own success. There should never be a problem with that. And yeah, it's to me, it's like, yeah, duh, why didn't we do this a long time ago? But I am glad that the league is generally embracing it, although, of course, we have had some inconsistencies with stuff like the Castellanos suspension and whatnot. But in general, I'm totally with you, and it is very good to see.
Do you think Jose Bautista was the flashpoint? Was that it? Like, when that happened in the playoffs for Toronto and he bat flipped and it was awesome, I feel like that might have been like the breaking point where we were leading up to it and starting to kind of be okay with it. And then that happened and there was this massive debate about it. And most people came out on the side of that was great and I want more of it. Do you think that was like the turning point?
I think so. I think a lot of people identify that point as a turning point, and that's one too where I think that was one where we were all so excited about it, and it was such an iconic moment for so many reasons. And then there was this kind of in-between period where everyone was like, well, that was the playoffs, so of course you can do that. It's a big moment. So then when people were doing it in the regular season, everyone was like, whoa, 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 it's not a big deal. But as you've mentioned, slowly but surely, as the best players and the young players are the ones that are doing it, it just becomes more normalized, right? And so if Tatis can do it because he's one of the best players in the world, you have to have the best players doing it. And that's what I think the real shift has been. And I'm glad you mentioned Bryce Harper, because I think he's a big part of that too. I love Bryce Harper. I've been following him since he was on Sports Illustrated when he was, you know, in high school. And, like, he was doing that and showed that you can both, you know, bust your ass and play harder than everyone else and also be like, yeah, I'm the best. I'm going to celebrate. Like, he towed that line really well. And I think he deserves more credit for that too. And I know now he's just kind of a strange figure in the baseball universe, but I think Bryce Harper's awesome. And I think he's a big part of that as well.
He's extremely divisive. And I feel like people have, it's either love or hate. You either think the guy's great or you just despise who he is. And you know what? that's perfect. That's exactly what you want. Yep. You want a player to elicit that kind of emotion. And before we let you go, there's another guy. And, you know, you've been laying out all of these players, the young players that are coming up, and we're getting close to number 20,000 as we started this interview talking about. But there's a guy who's getting toward the end, and it's making me very sad. And he's got 3 years left on a contract. So beyond this season, the end of the contract is 2024 for Joey Votto. And he's one of baseball's, I mean, if you pay attention to the sport, you know who he is, but he doesn't have that, like, you know, casual fan, national presence. Like, people everywhere don't know him. But that's a guy that I think needs to be appreciated a whole lot more than he actually is. And he is an oddball, and I love that.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Votto is, for anyone that has paid, right, like, close attention, I know, right, he's been Cincinnati his whole career, and he's never been in any World Series, and he's never, I mean, the Reds were good in the beginning of his career when he was really peaking, but obviously has not, they have not been as relevant recently. But you're totally right. I think he kind of gets caught in that generation of first basemen, you know, right after Pujols, because Pujols and Cabrera are just in this, like, God-tier Hall of Fame that we're already watching their kind of decline and thinking about them and whatnot. But you're totally right. Like, Votto is also, I know this sounds crazy to some people, he's one of the best hitters of all time. Like, he really is. Like, and I know he's been declining recently, but you compare his OPS plus, his OPS, his, you know, his park adjusted, air adjusted stats, they are absolutely up there with everyone. And I hope he's not as in as much of a decline. I mean, his stats have been really weird the last couple of years. He's still hitting the ball hard. The way he talks about hitting, you kind of always want to believe, oh, but Joey's going to figure it out. Like, he's going to find a way.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about
this? I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
To continue to produce, and he has in some sense, and I know Cubs fans don't want to hear this, but I do want the Reds to at least be relevant enough so that the end of Joey Votto's career is not just on a last place team. Like, I would like to see him, because he went through whatever, however many six or seven losing seasons before last year. It would be nice to see him still kind of at the center of a team that is still relevant as he kind of goes to the end. And if he is a Red for life, you know, that's also something that Pujols and Miggy can't say, and a couple of the other guys that have been around for a long time. Like, one team for a whole career is a really, really, really special feat. And I think he really might just pull it off. Or, you know, he'll finish his career in Toronto. That would also be really cool.
One of the most remarkable things about him was the piece that was written, and I forgot who pointed it out for the first time. and it was several years ago, maybe 3 or 4 years, that the dude had never hit a pop up to first base, and it was like the biggest deal because he just didn't pop up. You know, he's got such amazing bat control, and he was such a good hitter. And you think about how often really good hitters pop up on the infield, and this dude never did it. That's how good he was, and you don't think about stuff like that. But I wish he got more attention than he had. And I think you're right. It's probably by virtue of the Reds not being all that good in the last few years.
I'm really glad you mentioned the pop-up thing, because I also remember when that was a big deal. And then, like, in the last couple of years, maybe it was 19 or early last season, he did it like 3 times
right.
in a week.
It was a big deal.
People were like, oh, no. But to your point, if you started this conversation, it's like, it's sad. It's like, well, one, it's like, duh, like he's not going to do this forever. But it does give you this thing that you know, watching your heroes, the guys who you know is the best players in baseball, slowly decline. It's I mean, obviously we've been watching with Pujols now for like half a decade, but it really is. That is one of the hardest things to watch in baseball. But at the same time, like you said, we should still appreciate it, because Votto is by no means done. Like, he is still able to contribute. And it's just, you know, we might not remember just how good he really was back when he was an MVP.
Jordan Schusterman of Cespedes Family Barbecue with us on Hit and Run on the Score. Jordan, I love the conversation. Let's do this again sometime. And maybe after we get past 20,000, let's talk again.
My pleasure. If, you know, something super crazy happened, if Jake Berger is number 20,000, I will, which would really be insane, I would be thrilled to join you. But no matter what, this was a lot of fun. Thanks for having me on, man. This is great.
You got it. That would be perfect if a Berger gets in. Thank you, Jordan. That is Jordan Schusterman of Cespedes Family Barbecue. You can follow that account at Cespedes Barbecue. He and his partner Jake, you can catch him on MLB on Fox. You can catch them on The Ringer. They've got good podcast. So a lot of great baseball content, and I think that account is really good. And so, again, if you're just joining us, what they are doing is they are counting up to Major League Baseball player number 20,000 in the history of the game, and we are currently sitting at 19,972. So we are 28 players away from player number 20,000 making his debut. Only 20,000 people ever have played Major League Baseball in over a century. It's really mind-boggling when you put it into terms like that. Cubs and the Reds will finish up their series this afternoon. We've got the broadcast starting at 11:35, so a little over an hour away from now. Matt Spiegel will have the pregame show, and we'll see what happens after the fun yesterday between the Cubs and Amir Garrett. Also, the White Sox this afternoon, they will finish up their series as well. And the White Sox taking on the Cleveland Indians, Giolito facing Plesac. So that is a really good pitching matchup for today, even though Plesac really hasn't been great this year. He's got an ERA close to 6. Giolito does too, but that's after one outing. He's had one real bad outing this year, but otherwise has pitched really well. I'd like to see what this start for him looks like today. How about this? We haven't talked to you all day yet. 312-644-6767 is the phone number to call us or to text. It's brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time. Shop online at rosenhyundai.com. We would love to talk with you about the Cubs or the White Sox. And lots of fun stuff has been happening this past week. And how do you feel about the spot the two teams are in right now? Neither team is in first place, but it sure seems like the White Sox arrow is definitely pointing up. The Cubs are still in this, well, they're in last place in the division right now. They are 5 games back of the Milwaukee Brewers, who lead the division. Are they really a last place team? I mean, they are right now, but is that where they're going to be by the end of the year? 312-644-6767. I'm Chris Ranji, in for Spiegs on Hit and Run on the Score.
The Score is Chicago sports. Chicago sports is The Score. Thanks for keeping us the number one and most listened to sports station in Chicago. Listen on your radio, laptop, mobile device through the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Or tell your smart speaker to play 670 The Score. We're live and we're local. 670 The Score. An Odyssey station. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago sports station.
Jimenez in a 3-for-21 slide. The pitch, and he sends a fly ball to center, not deep. Fighting that wind and now going to a slide to make the catch. Luis Robert, who ended up in shallow center. Well, this is the kind of day that anybody at the ballpark here in Chicago that is wearing a toupee or a wig may find that that hairpiece ends up in Des Moines, Iowa at the end of the game.
Tom Hamilton, WTAM, the Cleveland broadcast. He's been an announcer for, geez, forever. He's a legend in Cleveland. I love Tom Hamilton. I was hoping to get a chance to talk to him today. Weren't able to make it happen, but Tom is one of my favorite. He is, okay, so outside of announcers that I have, you know, grown up listening to or have been listening to over the last few years, you know, locally, he is one of my favorite national broadcasters. And if you have the MLB app, you know, if you've got you know, the package where you can listen to games from different announcers around the country, check out Tom Hamilton for a little bit. I just love him. And
here in Chicago,
the people love him in Cleveland. I had a friend, well, I guess I still have her as a friend, from Cleveland. And when I was working with the White Sox, she was at a game and she was with other Cleveland people. They went to a Sox-Indians game several years ago. And she's like, hey, is it possible for me to meet Tom Hamilton? And so I was working on the broadcast level and I said, yeah, I'll bring you guys up. And they were just, I mean, geeking out over Tom. They love him. And Tom is great. He's legitimately one of the great baseball broadcasters in the country. So if you ever get a chance to listen to him, and it was very windy yesterday, I didn't know that's where he was going with it.
Did you ever hear when he was on Inside the Clubhouse with Spiegel and Bruce?
No.
Tom Hamilton, thanks so much for the time on a Saturday morning. How's your off season going so far?
Going great, Max. Thanks for having me. Well, I think first off, Max, he's the face of the franchise. That's it. And Max, I think that one surprised me, Max. Well, one thing, they have proven, Max, you know, I didn't know who might interview him, Max, but I sure thought somebody would. I'm not.
So this goes on for 50 seconds.
You know what? I did. When I filled in for Parkins, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago, they did play that for me. That's awesome. I forgot about that.
Going great, Max. Thanks for having me.
And here's what's going on there. I mean, obviously, Tom and Matt have probably, or Max, whatever, have probably never met in person. And maybe that's the first time they ever interacted. And you thought you heard Matt's name correctly, and you didn't. And you're just trying to be friendly. When you talk to somebody in a regular conversation and you use their name to them, it is, it's endearing. You know, it's just it's a nice thing to do. So Tom is trying to be nice and he's trying to say Matt's name when he addresses him, except he's got the name wrong. He called him Max. That's awesome. I had forgotten about that. But Tom is great. He's seriously really good. So maybe if you do have the package where you can listen to other ball games, maybe spend some time today, if you're a White Sox fan, listening to Tom Hamilton on WTAM in Cleveland. He's very good. He's one of the best local broadcasters in the country. I love him. I think he's great. 312-644-6767 is the phone number to call us. You can text us however you want to get to us. That's how you do it. As we talk about this team, these teams here in town, and I mentioned the White Sox will finish up their series against Cleveland today, and it'll be Giolito versus Plesac. For the Cubs, Trevor Williams is going to pitch today in Cincinnati against Tyler Molly. So that's your pitching matchup for the afternoon. Matt Spiegel has the pregame show starting at 11:35. One of the biggest storylines in this Chicago baseball season so far, and there have been quite a few of them, a good, young, exciting White Sox team with some exciting players, some dynamic players. That's been a major storyline, even before the season started. So was the addition of Tony La Russa as the manager. And you know, anybody who's been following, or if you know who I am at all, maybe you're just now listening to The Score and you're like, who's this scumbag talking to me? I'm Chris Ranji. Hello. And I had been doing baseball stuff on the station for a long time, and then I was gone for a while, and now I'm kind of back a little bit. I don't really, and anybody who's listened to me has probably been infuriated by my opinion that managers are overrated when it comes to wins and losses, that I believe we probably put way too much on managers when it comes to whether or not a team loses a game or wins a ball game late. That there are so many different other things that happen through the course of the game that the players have complete control over. And when a game is lost late, usually it's late that we do this, we tend to put it on the manager. We tend to put it on one decision. Why did you bring that reliever in? Why did you use this pinch hitter and not that guy? Usually that's it. That's the reason they lost. It isn't because the team goes 1-for-20 with runners in scoring position in the 7 innings leading up to that big decision. You know, we don't talk about that. We don't talk about the fact that there were multiple opportunities to put runs on the board and the players failed. But we will focus on decisions that happen late by a manager. And usually it's one decision that we say was the reason a team lost and nothing else. And I think that we overvalue that way too much. I think we talk way too much about this stupid manager and this stupid thing that he did. And if he hadn't have done that, they would have won this game. And that's the reason they lost. I think we do that way too much, but it's been going on since the beginning of the sport. We have criticized managers, I think, way too much. Sometimes, though, an event will happen and it will make me rethink all of that. And it kind of happened this past week with the White Sox. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. I'm Chris Ranji. You're listening to Hit and Run on The Score.
The Bears trade up to get quarterback Justin Fields.
It's the arm talent. It's the accuracy. It's the athleticism.
Willing to do whatever to win. So that's, of course, my number one job.
Keep it here as we continue to cover this huge move by Ryan Pace and the Bears on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Chicago's home for Bears fans. An Odyssey station. This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
In the air to right field. Eaton's back. Eaton's at the wall. Eaton falls, and this is gone. Two-run home run, Nico Goodrum.
Oh, man.
Oh, man is right. The call on NBC Sports Chicago. That was not good. That was on Tuesday night. That was the last time Lucas Giolito, who's going to be pitching for the White Sox this afternoon, that was the last time he started. And it did not go well in the moment. I have been telling you for years, if you've ever listened to me, to stop worrying about the freaking manager. that we're overrating the reach and the impact they have on game-to-game basis. I don't know if that's the right word, but whatever. I think we overrate it. I think players have 98% of the control over what happens in a given game. And some of the evidence is a manager can make what on paper looks to be a terrible decision, and it works out perfectly. It happens in baseball, and sometimes they make a good decision that works out terribly, which kind of always leads me to the idea that we put too much on what a manager does or does not do in a given game. And maybe part of it is because we can direct our anger at one person if things don't go well, and then we can say, if you would fix that problem, that guy is our problem, and if you change it, everything would be way better. I think it's just easier to accept the fact that you lost because of the actions or inaction of one individual, and not because it's a team-wide thing and everybody owns a loss or owns losing. It's just easier to have one focal point, right? Sometimes, though, I'm totally wrong. Doesn't happen much. But sometimes I am 100% wrong. And one of those times happened to be on Tuesday. And if you remember the game between the White Sox and the Tigers at Guaranteed Rate Field, the Sox, and it was one of those, it turned up to be a pitcher's duel. But really, it might have had a lot more to do with the White Sox offensive, what would you call it, lack of production. It was a 2-1 ball game going into the top of the seventh inning. To this point, Lucas Giolito had given up just one run. And, of course, any manager would love to get as many innings as possible out of the starter before you go to the bullpen for a couple of different reasons. And sometimes it's situational. Sometimes it's you would prefer to stay away from the bullpen because a lot of guys have worked too much and you just don't want to go to them. You want to give them another day of rest if you can afford to do it that way. But also, usually your starters are better. And also, you would like to, and I think generally speaking, put as little wear and tear on your bullpen as you can early in the season so that they are still fresh when you get to the late part of September and then hopefully into the postseason. So ideally speaking, you want to stick with your starter as long as you possibly can. That's what happened on Tuesday night. Kind of. That's what happened on Tuesday night. So if you go back through the fifth inning, let's start in the fifth inning. And to this point, and even through the fifth and even through the sixth inning, Giolito had not given up any runs. However, if you look deeper into what was going on during the course of the game, at around about the fifth inning, that's when you started to see the Tigers start to make more solid contact against Giolito. They were hitting the ball harder. And for those of you that don't follow along with StatCast numbers and exit velocity and are still slow to adopt it into your baseball consumption, anything over 95 miles an hour off the bat is considered hard hit. When you get over 100, that's really hard hit. You know, you get close to 110, that means you're smoking a baseball. Starting in the fifth inning, though, Giolito had given up quite a few hard hits. They all resulted in outs. But here's what he did in the fifth. He had given up one that was 108, almost 109 miles an hour off the bat, one that was 107, another that ended up being a fielder's choice that was 105. Okay, so those are three pretty hard hit balls in one inning. All of them resulted in ground outs. But what was starting to happen is he's giving up more solid contact. Then we get to the sixth inning, and the same trend is happening. A ground out of 98 miles an hour, a single of almost 105, another single of almost 104, a double play ball that was 96, almost 97 miles an hour off the bat. So again, we're looking at this trend. Guys are starting to hit the ball pretty hard off Lucas Giolito, which can mean one of two things. It can mean they have picked up on him, but usually if they've picked up on him, they're getting base hits and not hard ground ball outs. or he's getting tired and he's not commanding, or the velocity isn't quite there. So one of two things is probably happening in that moment. He gets through the sixth inning with those exit velocities that I just mentioned. So maybe Lucas Giolito at this point is getting tired. Should he come out of the game? Yeah, probably. Is that what happened? No, it is not what happened. He was allowed to stay into the game when it was over. The home run that you heard at the very beginning, the Nico Goodrum home run, his third of the season, by the way, was the result of that inning after leaving in Giolito a little bit too long. Now, here is what he gave up in the seventh in terms of exit velocity. 109 miles an hour, 105, and that was the home run, and then almost 102. So you're starting to see, like, I mean, obviously, you started to see it a couple of innings prior. It manifested big time in that seventh inning. The White Sox go on to lose that ball game, and people lost their minds over the inaction of Tony La Russa. And it wasn't helped by what happened after the game when both Giolito and La Russa were asked about it.
Being in better rhythm, what did you feel like went wrong for you in the seventh inning?
I didn't have much left in the tank.
Bruce?
He just answered it, so thank you.
Okay. James?
I mean, saying that you didn't have much left in the tank, did you feel like you could have gotten out of that inning, or how did you feel about kind of being out there and trying to get through that?
If it's my job to go out there and get outs, I got to get them. You know, it's on me. I got to make better pitches. First two guys, the seventh, I threw a lot of pitches to them. I don't remember walk, fly out maybe. But, you know, I mean, the seventh was my inning. I have to get the job done. I didn't. It doesn't matter how I'm feeling.
Ruth Levine?
Well, this is the worst part of my job is when I have to ask a manager about something that doesn't work out. But can you talk about once the game was tied, what you were thinking with Lucas at that point?
Sure, sure. I was confident he'd get the third out. I was confident he'd get the third out when Ramos came to bat. And after that, you know, I was confident he'd get the last out and the score would be 2-2. You know, it was his inning. And didn't turn out. I'm still confident.
James?
Yeah, Lucas just said he felt like he was didn't have much left in the tank that inning. Was there any indicators of that from your view, or anything you were trying to you were noticing in him as that inning went on?
Is that what he said?
Yeah, he said I didn't have much left in the tank. I asked him about the seventh.
Well, that's my fault for not recognizing, because I looked at it. You know, he got walked the leadoff guy, which wasn't good, and he gets two outs. At that point, like I said, I was confident he'd get the third out.
That's not great. Yeah, that isn't great. Couple of different reasons. One, he was not aware that his pitcher was getting tired. And usually you don't hear pitchers say, like, I was out of gas. You know, they'll kind of cover for the decision, and Giolito did not. So my guess is he was probably not very happy he was still in that game in that moment. And also, Tony happened to be wrong on the amount of outs. There was only one out when that home run happened. So he still had to get another out, and then another pitcher came in and got the third out of the inning. Never mind the fact the White Sox went 0-13 with runners in scoring position and stranded 9. But that decision right there ended up being pretty, pretty bad. So you know what? I take it all back. Managers do matter, and I'm very wrong. I'm Chris Ranji. This is Hit and Run on The Score.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I
feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.